Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. It is sometimes said that when a person loses his sight, his other senses become enhanced to help compensate for that loss. Whether this is true or not is a matter of conjecture, but it is significant, I believe, that it is usually not blind people who assert this. Of all our senses, our sight and hearing are probably the two most difficult ones to overcome their loss. The loss of either of these senses, even temporarily, seriously affects one's ability to function in the world. In the case of vision, it is possible for one who possesses sight to not see something that is right before him. For example, one might be reading a set of instructions or a list of some kind and not see, we would perhaps say overlook, something in those instructions or on that list. Or one might see a sign, like one I have in my office at home, in which light-colored strips of wood are attached to a background of darker wood in what appears to be a random fashion. Depending upon how one focuses on the sign, he may or may not see the name Jesus on that sign. In ancient times, blindness was more common, perhaps, than today, and certainly more devastating to its victims. Short of a miraculous healing at the hands of the Lord or by one of his apostles, a blind person would never see again. In one case, however, a man became blind, and while blind, he saw some things which changed his life and his eternal destiny. When his sight was restored to him, he saw as he had never seen before, all the way to heaven and to eternal life. That man was Saul of Tarsus, and what he saw while blind still has value even today. The story of Saul's blindness is found in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9. Here's what Luke recorded. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. As Saul of Tarsus traveled along the road to Damascus, he thought he was on a mission from God. He was in search of Christians, and he was determined to bring any he found back to Jerusalem to stand trial before the Jewish council. He could clearly see his duty, and was doing it with a fervor unmatched by any of his peers. Then he saw a blinding light shining around him from heaven, and he heard the voice of Jesus, whom he had up to that point considered to be a blasphemer, who had been rightfully, in his mind, put to death. When the light went away, Saul saw nothing, for his sight had been taken from him by the Lord. Now the man who oozed confidence and self-assurance had to be led by the hand in order to complete his journey. For 3 days Saul sat in his blindness, but he was not idle as he did so. In verse 9, we learn that he fasted those 3 days. This was a way in which a devout person could focus his attentions on spiritual things as he dealt with some challenge in his life. In addition to this, in verse 11, when the Lord called Ananias to go to Saul, the Lord told Ananias that Saul was praying. Now, Saul did not sit in self-pity over his blindness. Instead, he turned to God and to the Savior, whom he still did not know. Saul humbled himself in penitence before God as he waited for the instructions that the Lord had promised he would receive. It was at this point, while physically blind, that Saul of Tarsus began to see for the very first time. The first thing that Saul saw through his blind eyes is that zeal alone for God is not enough. The word zeal, in its positive usage, denotes a passionate devotion to someone or something. To say that Paul had zeal for God barely scratches the surface of his enthusiasm for God's law. There were, of course, many Jews in the first century who were zealous for God, but Saul's zeal outpaced them all. When the angry mob of Jews drug Stephen out of the city to stone him, Acts chapter 7, verse 58 tells us that they left their robes in the care of Saul as they did so. At the end of Luke's account of Stephen's death, in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, Saul's zeal is appropriately noted. Luke says Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women, he would put them in prison. Now we know that many Jews hated Christians, but Saul was one of the few who actively persecuted them. So much so that this is why he was traveling to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. But while he was blind, Saul saw that his zeal for God had been misguided. He saw that by persecuting Christians, he was doing Satan's work by hindering the proclamation of the gospel. Many years later, as Paul the Apostle, he spoke of what was wrong with his zeal at the time of his encounter with the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, speaking of his fellow Jews, but revealing what he saw when he was blind, he said, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." The clear implication is that Saul had sinned against God because his zeal actually violated God's will. He, as well as the other Jews who opposed Jesus, were substituting their own will for God's will. Having seen that zeal alone for God was not sufficient, Saul then saw that his religious heritage was wrong. You see, Saul had a rich heritage as a Jew, one in which he was justifiably proud. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, as he gave his defense before the Jews, Paul spoke of this heritage. He said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today." Now here Paul was making reference to his training as a Pharisee. He was not just a Jew, but he was a Jew who was a Pharisee, a member of the sect known to be the most diligent keepers of the law of Moses. Not only this, but he had been trained by the most renowned teacher among the Pharisees at that time. Gamaliel was such a prominent teacher that his advice on the treatment of the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verses 34 through 39, was sufficient to sway the council's decision in his favor. On two other occasions, Paul took space in his letters to remind the recipients of those letters of where he had come from as a Jew. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, he noted the confidence he held when he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Benjamite, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, a persecutor of the church, and blameless before the law. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he noted that his zeal as a Jew led him to persecute the church and that he was advancing beyond many of his contemporaries in Judaism. In every respect, Saul of Tarsus had a rich religious heritage. He was a rising star, destined for greatness as a Jew. When he was blind, however, he saw that all of this, all of his upbringing, all of his training, all of his experiences and exploits as a Jew, had been contrary to God's will and had separated him from the very God for whom he was so zealous. We know that this is what he saw while he was blind because of what he later said about this period in his life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, as Paul spoke of the Lord's post-resurrection appearances, he said that the Lord lastly appeared to him, quote, for I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be an apostle because I persecuted the church, end quote. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Saul of Tarsus, before he became blind, was proud of his zeal in persecuting the church and doing all he could do to destroy it. But in his blindness, he saw how wrong his religious heritage had been. And as Paul, the Christian and apostle of Jesus Christ, he was sorry for all that he had ever done to the Lord's church. As a devout and zealous Jew, Saul had been a blasphemer and a persecutor. He had been dead wrong, and only when he became blind did he see this truth. When Saul the zealot, Saul the exemplary Jew, Saul the persecutor of the church became blind, he also saw the truth for the very first time, and with it he saw the way to eternal life. In Acts chapter 22, as Paul stood before a mob of angry Jews in defense of his life, he recounted to them his experience on the road to Damascus and his encounter with the preacher Ananias in the city of Damascus. After fasting and praying for 3 days, Saul had his sight restored by Ananias, who then told him what the Lord had in store for him. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul repeated what Ananias said to him on that occasion. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. What Saul of Tarsus saw at this time was that he was still separated from God and lost in his sins. His sins had not been removed by having seen and spoken to the Lord on the road to Damascus. His sins had not been removed by 3 days of fasting and praying. For all his rich religious heritage, his zealous diligence as a Jew, and his 3 days of penitent seeking, Saul of Tarsus was still in his sins. Only by obedience to the command to be baptized would his sins be washed away. This was the truth and the only way to eternal life, and Saul of Tarsus did not see it until he became blind. When Paul the Apostle made his defense before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he told the king that he did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. He immediately became a Christian, and he spent the rest of his life in faithful service to the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21, the Lord told Judah that they had eyes but did not see, and ears but did not hear. As a result, he brought judgment upon them. May we never be like them in this regard. Let us open our eyes so that we may see what a blind man saw. Let us see that zeal must be according to knowledge of God's word. Let us see that religious heritage that does not abide in God's word will not save. And let us see the truth, which is the only way to eternal life. As we consider the things that we've studied together today, what do you see? I pray that you will see what a blind man saw, and having seen that, that you will obey the gospel just as he did. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.